And in association with PharmaNord Nutritional Supplements and indeed Parkville Care Homes, we're on location again for another on-location postcard. We've left Saltburn behind us with the April Book of the Month. And yes, the excitement is mounting tremendously because I'm here sitting directly opposite one of the key geniuses behind the joys of sci-fi Scarborough. You can tell that already Hollywood's in touch online at present by sending in lines, etc. Andy, it's good to connect with yourself. Andy, your full name is?
Just Andy Harness, actually, yeah. Hello. Not just Andy Harness,
the Andy Harness, as Steve said on a regular basis, he couldn't do it without your good self. As I said, we're sitting in the Spa Theatre Complex at Scarborough. The weather is not great, but it's traditional, I suppose, bank holiday weather on a Tuesday, which is wonderful. But Sci-Fi Scarborough, it's only a matter of days away now.
Yeah, it's weekend after next, actually, so we're not only are we really excited about it, but obviously 2 weeks leading up to the event, it's absolutely manic at SFS headquarters, so it's all hands to the pumps at the minute, so it's looking really, really good this year, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, last year, as we mentioned, we had so many good reviews about SFS that it was just sensational. We thought, we must be there. We must come along this time around. So we're joining some of our colleagues, Ed Fortune, of course, from Starburst magazine. Shane and Sheila aren't going to be around, I don't think, this year. They're over in Hollywood for some reason doing a sort of thing over there. But we do have Larry Nemechek, who's become a regular correspondent, and Larry's looking forward to it as his Israel Star Trek guru, Garrett Wang, Claudia Christian, and a Richard Hatch masterclass. And that's just some of the people who are coming over.
Oh, yeah, indeed. I mean, obviously, this is only Sci-Fi Scarborough's third year, but it's strange that by the time it ends, it actually, bookend actually just 2 years of work, but it's been 3.5 years in the planning. And every year we try to ramp up the standard of guests, the experience for people, and we don't try to spread ourselves too thin and do, you know, a lot of events a year. We try to dovetail it to be sort of on the calendar around Easter time every year that you come to Sci-Fi Scarborough for the weekend. So this year with the lineup, now, as you said, you've got the four American guests, but we've got a lot of people from British TV as well, like John Campling, who was in Harry Potter, Sam Fisher-Becker and Dan Starkey and Barnaby Edwards. That's like the Who thing. You've got Strax, the chief Dalek operator, Moldavar that's in there as well. Norman Lovett from Red Dwarf. You can't argue with a bit of Red Dwarf because we had them on the first year, but the only thing missing was Holly. Tried to get him, and then finally, you know, we'd be able to get him because he's usually on tour. Then on the Sunday, we've got three from Game of Thrones, which, you know, you can't ignore the monster that Game of Thrones has become. So, we've got Miltos, Luke Barnes and Josephine Gillen. That's really good. So, like a Sunday only thing, because traditionally in conventions, the Sunday is usually a bit quieter. And I understand that. So we've made a purpose thing to give another attraction for the weekend ticket holders to go, well, it's worth coming back on the Sunday. Well, it's worth to be here anyway, because it's a quarter of a mile long and we use every single room in the convention centre. So, yeah, the lineup this year, as well as Brian Johnson, which we forgot to mention, double Oscar winner, you know, for Alien and The Empire Strikes Back, which we'll talk a bit about the prop room. But so that's, in a way, 13 top guests alone, without even getting into the prop makers and a lot of people that work behind the scenes and the illustrators and the artists. So, it's manic.
Speaking to some of our convention organisers up and down the land, of course, Louis Savvy for Sci-Fi London, Derek Hamley, 10th Planet Events, and so on. We've kind of followed them through and promoted it. It does seem as though, you know, we've seen a resurgence, a renaissance in terms of conventions. And the great thing, of course, is that an awful lot of conventions like Sci-Fi Scarborough are professionally done, but run also by fans as well.
I think that's the key, because There's always that element of when we were working towards the first event that we didn't know how it was going to go, because Scarborough, in its attraction, is 50 miles away from anywhere, which makes it unique. But the counter problem is it's 50 miles away from anywhere. Most of the big conventions, you mentioned London. Well, London's obviously the capital; it's a hub. Most of the bigger conventions take place in metropolitan cities only simply because of the rail and the travel networks to do. I mean, like yourself today, I found it quite hard to get into Scarborough.
It was an interesting challenge, and sadly the beaming facility just wasn't there. I couldn't use the NASA transportation device to get here instantly.
Well, that's the thing, so in one respect, you know, when we first started to put on the event, we weren't trying to do it as a purely business model. It was literally Steve who first came up with the idea. Having been to a Voyager convention, I'd just come back from the Middle East, and we sat down, and there was literally thousands of hours of us just sitting down over coffee discussing what we would like as fans to see at a convention. Now, it's worked out that we've been pretty much, fortunately, touch wood, on the money about what we try to do, because we've always worked on the ethos of, once you've bought your ticket, you can come in as a millionaire and buy and have the photo shoot and buy everything in sight, because there's plenty of things to spend money on. But also, on the flip side of that, you can actually come in having bought your ticket and spend nothing and still have things in here that are free to the point of the ticket holder that they can enjoy. Like the fan film theatre, we use the Victorian theatre, we show fan films and independent films throughout the entire weekend. So if there's a queue for that particular person, or you've seen that panel and you just want to chill out, you can either go to the balcony above the Grand Hall, or you can go and watch some films. And a lot of these filmmakers usually are on the edge of going on to the next big thing, and it's almost like a little melting pot of creativity. So really, over the weekend, we've put the convention so it's almost like an end of the pier Victorian review show of just geekiness, because we have a lot of props, we have a lot of interactivity, we have all different types of gaming that you can get involved in, and all this doesn't actually cost any money. So you can either spend a fortune or nothing, and it shouldn't actually make much difference in your experience of the event. Where, and I'm certainly, you know, it's great that the conventions have come back. I just think, you know, as a convention goer, because I've been to a few, I actually want to actually enjoy the entire thing and the setting. And again, we are lucky, because it's a renovated Victorian venue. It's beautiful. It's right on the beach. I mean, to me, that's perfect. I had to go away from Scarborough into my, you know, my living that I did overseas to fall in love with Scarborough again. When you come back and you see it with innocent eyes again, so many people were coming to Sci-Fi Scarborough in the first 2 years that used to come when they were kids, like the Glasgow Fortnite and a lot of, you know, as children. And they're starting to come back now because the town is sort of, is like re-energising itself, you know, with the open air theatre and obviously the bike race and stuff. So yeah, all we try to do is find a little weekend every Easter where families can go, I'm really into this stuff, it's non-judgmental, and they have a really good time. That's all we've ever tried to do.
Well, as you mentioned, when we featured Steve a couple of weeks ago, last time we were actually here was over in the North Bay. I know there's a little bit of competition between North Bay and South Bay, and the railway station up there. And we were working with director Graham Harper, of course, Doctor Who alumni and so on, who was driving a train full of teddy bears, amongst other things. So I'm sure Graham will be looking forward to coming along to a Sci-Fi Scarborough in the not-too-distant future, if he gets on the guest list, of course, because there's some fantastic folk here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, what's really good about the you know, we can't, Steve and I can't take all the credit, because obviously behind every team there's other people working. There's another Steve that is almost like our chief Negus Ferengi that makes sure it all goes well. You've got people like Simon that does all the finished artwork. You know, there's actually a team of people, but we're all local, and it is also the local businesses and people like Graham and that help promote it. You've got a lot of prop makers, prop companies, filmmakers, and the volunteers and the staff. I mean, one thing that has been, you know, commented on is how friendly it is, because we are set up, we are a holiday resort, so there's almost, I wouldn't say necessarily the word customer care, but we're sort of more geared up to, this is, you know, we're coming into the season now, we're at the beginning of the convention season before it really kicks off. It's a perfect time. It's good for the hoteliers. The hoteliers have been brilliant, you know, have helped us out and given discounted rates for the guests and stuff. They've helped us out. It all feeds into the machine. So it's, although it was, you know, Steve's idea and you know, and then me and Steve's idea, it's actually the town that pays into the event. So it's almost like a for want of a better word, a community geekdom, and they all get it.
I feel as a radio station just crying out to be developed in terms of that. I'm actually to our Chilpack Hollywood friends, Phil Leonis and Dean Hagland. Just looking around, you mentioned for the aficionados, people would already sort of pick up on your references, such as Grand Negus and, of course, the joys of coffee, which you all need if you're travelling through Voyager. From your own perspective, are you a Babylon 5 person? Are you a Voyager? Are you a Star Trek fan? Is it everything? Is there a particular area? I mean, are you saying, thank the Lord, we've got Susan Ivanova, Jenny Finch, our very own writer, up at the Book Corner, Saltburn, was actually saying Susan Ivanova was always her favourite, really. But do you have a particular liking where you think, great, fantastic?
In a way, well, it's a bit of a melting pot for me. I mean, the reason that it sort of works is Steve's very much into the film and TV, and the two Steves, actually, are massive Star Trek fans. Now,
good healthy sign, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm not as much of a Star Trek fan. I'm more into the comic books and the literature. So, you know, we've got these 13 top guests, and actually you could add 14 with Terry English, who made all the Excalibur armour and Aliens clone and Marine armour, so that's another prop legend, so technically 14. Then we've got five top comic book artists. Now, my thing really is as I say, comic books and literature. So when you've got the likes of Kev Crossley, Greg Staples, who's just won the cover of the year, Gary Erskine, basically that, like the gentleman, he's been around for years, as is David Hine and Richard Piers Rayner, who illustrated The Road to Perdition. you've got that element, because I think sometimes, this is not criticising other conventions, but obviously San Diego Comic Con started off with comics and literature, and I think that sometimes in other events gets a little bit lost. So what's good about the Artist Alley, which is the Spa Grand Hall we use every room, is not only have you got the guest signers that have been in these fantastic series, but we've also got guest creators, and then allied with them you've got the independent press and independent authors that are on their way up as well, because one of them, Jex Collier, it looks like her book Zero is getting an option for Hollywood. So it's when you come into the Grand Hall, especially from a creative point of view, you've got all the points of contact. You've got the people that write the stuff, that illustrate the stuff. Then you go to the prop hall, you get the people that make the stuff, and then you've got the actors that present the stuff. So it's basically a through line of geekdom and film. I mean, obviously, I loved Babylon 5, and Battlestar Galactica, the original, obviously on sort of the back of the Star Wars thing, I was exactly the right age. And then the reboot, I thought, was just absolutely stunning TV, and the fact that obviously Richard was in both iterations of it, to me it's like a little touchstone for my generation and the younger generation, because it crosses over. So for me, there's not a particular favourite. It's almost like a pick and mix, which is, that's what we try to put all the things in, because there should be. I know some people are really into one thing and they know absolutely everything about it, and I'm honestly, as an organiser, I'm not. I just like little bits of everything, like Warhammer 40K. I've never played the game, but I love painting the models, and I love the design of the miniatures, but I don't like the game. So I'll collect them, but I know some people will know everything about it. So what we do is we put people in the gaming zone called D20. That's where all the tabletop RPG collectible card gaming is, and the people running that, Scarborough Game Society, that they live and breathe that all the time, so they're the best people to help run that bit. And then we've also got the Scarborough Anime and Manga Society. I sort of stopped with anime around about Akira time because I thought that was brilliant, but obviously there's been an explosion of Japanese culture that I don't get the references, so it's better to have people there again that live and breathe it. So once again, it's a community feeding to the machine, and if people are into it, they're the right people to see, and then they walk away going, you've ticked the right box, and we've involved local people, so everyone puts the best foot forward. So when it comes to what do I like, a bit of everything.
It's a win-win situation. You've also forgot to mention that I think wandering through the ground, I believe, will be Starburst's very own sequential art editor, Ed Fortune. He's always good for comment, I feel.
Oh, I have to say that Starburst were absolutely superb last year. They brought down a lot of free copies. And that's a weird thing. When you think about The Force Awakens coming out again, that was my Star Wars people, and Starburst was the very first science fiction magazine I ever bought, because it had Star Wars on the cover, and I would have been about 9 years old. And the fact, I actually felt like a child when we first got last year our first advert in Starburst, and I opened the magazine and we're in there. It felt like everything had come full circle. And when Ed came down, he was so brilliant with people, and they were giving out free issues of Starburst. He was like, "That's what more do you want?"
Well, we were actually over in Manchester at the Fab Cafe a couple of weeks ago, and yes, I can attest to the fact that Jordan Royce is still keeping the standards flying, even though, of course, they've changed location several times since the days of Alan McKenzie and Des Skin, of course.
Oh, Des Skin, you see, I remember him from the Warrior days. Again, we talk about comic books. I mean, I got, that's when I first read V for Vendetta. So
So I was actually going to think, Andy, were you initially, are you the Jack Kirby to Steve Stan Lee, or are you more the Alan Moore to Steve's Brian Bolland?
Oh, that's a really good. Wow, I'm probably more the Riker to his Picard.
Nice. Make it so. People listening to this online, are tickets still available? Is there time to still actually sign up and register for Sci-Fi Scarborough Geeking Beside the Seaside 2016?
Oh yeah, of course there is. Yeah, you can, if you actually want to book tickets, that's www.scarboroughspa.co.uk. If you want to get in touch about any questions, our website is www.scifiscarborough.co.uk, or find us on Facebook as Sci-Fi Scarborough, or on Twitter hashtag Sci-Fi Scarbs. And just to point out to everybody, the spa, when you actually add all the rooms together, is a quarter of a mile long, and we fill every single room with something. And we've also got the R2 builders, I forgot all about them. And Daleks. Oh, the fact there's more. There's Dread props, there's Thunderbirds props coming back. There's so much stuff.
It's just better and better, and we look forward to having the commentary from Larry Nemechek, who's joining us, because we're meeting on a one-to-one basis. It's just sensational stuff. clearly it's the place to be. Andy, thank you for sharing some moments with us today. Just kind of build up. I thought it was important to do that before the whole event starts getting in full action, and hopefully we'll catch up with you on the event itself.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Hello to all your listeners, and it's probably the last time you'll get me when I'm making sense, because I'll be running around over that weekend. So come down and get beside Seaside. Awesome.